This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Middlebury College has been at the center of some fierce debates over speech and diversity on campus this past year. Back in March, Charles Murray, a social scientist whose ideas are viewed by many as racist, was shouted down on campus, and a violent confrontation followed his talk. The incident focused national attention on the college. Now Middlebury is joining with a national group that promotes free expression to host a discussion that addresses that issue head on. Middlebury and the group PEN America will be hosting a panel discussion tonight called Whose Freedom, Whose Speech? The Future of Community and Free Speech at Middlebury. PEN America Executive Director Suzanne Nossel will be moderating the discussion, and she joins us now. Suzanne, it's a pleasure to have you on the program.
Great to be here.
Is this discussion really in direct response to some of the events that have happened on campus, like the situation with Charles Murray and others that have continued to sort of ferment and curdle on campus over the past year?
It is. I mean, we see a climate around the country of these controversies bubbling up, speakers being questioned, protested, disinvited in some cases. You know, the incident at Middlebury got violent and out of control, and so it captured the national attention. But Middlebury is not alone. We've also been traveling to other campuses. We were at Berkeley, the University of California, in the late fall with a similar, it's actually a two-day symposium that's kind of part of the public event as a centerpiece of that. So we'll also be having a closed-door discussion with folks here on campus about how they can move forward around these issues. And we've got a couple of other such meetings planned at different universities this spring.
What is it, do you think, about colleges and universities in particular that seem to make them flashpoints for these kinds of debates and discussions about speech?
Well, it's a place where there's tremendous diversity, where often people are encountering that diversity for the first time, whether you've grown up in a community of color and you're coming to a predominantly white university, or you've grown up in a white neighborhood and for the first time meeting students from all kinds of other backgrounds, including not just race but class. People are confronting those issues often for the first time. The campuses also were constructed in an era where the student body was much less diverse, kind of catering to a certain strata of our society. Now they've opened their doors to many more. That's not new. It's been happening for decades. But I think the full adaptation to what it means to be an inclusive, welcoming environment for students from all backgrounds is still being worked through. And at times that can come into conflict with robust protections for freedom of speech and academic freedom, which are really part of the pillars of what make academia and our university system and college system in this country so great. So it's a working through of how to address those tensions and how to reconcile the imperative that the university be open and welcoming to students from all backgrounds while still protecting all kinds of speech, including controversial speech.
Well, what's your perspective on that as executive director of PEN America, which, you know, is really in promotion of freedom of expression, but then that idea of protecting students and protecting, you know, and I don't mean that in the pejorative way that sometimes gets discussed about campus speech and safe zones, but I mean really making sure that students of all different backgrounds feel welcome and feel safe and feel like their voices are heard, which is often the complaint when somebody like Charles Murray comes, is that that's sending a signal to students perhaps who are not white, for example.
Yeah, I think it takes a really thoughtful, conscientious, and deliberate approach to make sure that you, someone like a Charles Murray can be heard, that he's not the only voice that's heard, that those who protest his views have a chance to express themselves as well, that the university weighs in with what it thinks about some of his most controversial pronouncements and affirms its own values so people don't see his appearance on campus as a reflection of the university's betrayal of their presence on campus, their right to be there. So there are ways to do it. We've seen some positive examples. The University of Florida, for example, there was a campus group that invited Richard Spencer to appear, the white supremacist advocate, and it was very controversial. Many people protested, but the university rose to the occasion. They launched a campaign to assert their own values. They gave him a venue. It was sort of off the beaten track on campus. They allowed protesters to have their say. They got through it. They didn't give him the satisfaction of saying, you know, I've been shut down, this is an outrage, or trying to sue them, which has happened in other cases. So there are tools and techniques to work through these issues. You know, they're genuine controversies, these values sometimes do come into conflict, but it's important that the university step forward and really embrace both sets of principles. I don't think the university can work if it's not open, truly open to all students, or if it shuts down certain kinds of ideas.
This discussion tonight that you're moderating has several people participating, members of the Middlebury College community and others like you. It is happening in a place on campus, and it's open to the campus community. But in terms of public access, it's really being pushed to a live stream so that people who are not part of the Middlebury community, Middlebury College community, who want to be able to see this can, but not in the same venue as where you will be having this conversation. Is that born out of security questions or questions about interruptions of this conversation?
Well, it's Middlebury's call, but I think what they're trying to do is foster a discussion among the campus community. I mean, here's a group of people that have to live together. They're in a relatively remote place. You know, they're in class together. They're in the dining halls together. And they have got to find a way as a community to work through this. And I think it's fair to have discussions where, you know, they, as different constituents in that community, have a chance to encounter one another, hear from one another. Yes, there's a public interest in these issues, and I think they're doing the right thing to make the conversation open to the public. But in terms of the back and forth, the idea that that should be centered on the Middlebury community seems fair to me.
You know, Suzanne, when we talk about campus speech issues and issues that have come up in previous generations, and you think about, for example, the Vietnam War and questions about military service and questions about the legitimacy of war, and you look at campus protests and campus speech today, and we do see a lot of questions about race, culture, inclusivity. Do you think that that conversation or those battles over free speech and expression on campus have changed over the generations?
The composition of the student body has changed. We're in a particular political moment. One of the issues that universities confront right now is this kind of enabling environment for hate speech that we see coming from the highest levels of the White House, where we have a president who has excused hate speech in certain contexts like Charlottesville, and that has made students on campuses feel less safe. And so universities have to confront those heightened feelings of vulnerability. You know, we have a new level of expectation when it comes to, you know, what makes a campus truly equal. It's not good enough to simply admit students from different backgrounds, but you really have to look at, you know, what's being taught, you know, who feels comfortable speaking up in class, you know, what are the things that are going to enable students from diverse backgrounds to really feel like they're able to participate 100% on an equal footing with everybody else. So I think some of the fundamental principles haven't changed, but the context has.
That's Suzanne Nossel, Executive Director of PEN America, a nonprofit dedicated to free expression. Suzanne, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thanks for having me. Take care.